This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
High energy, high stock prices.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Oil prices keep rising, but it's not putting a damper on the stock market so far. Maybe because oil companies are doing so well. Oil is at about $122 a barrel this morning. Yesterday, a Goldman Sachs analyst said we could see a super spike in the price next year to $200 a barrel. We'll see. But in the meantime, the stock markets keep shaking things off. So far in Europe, shares are up about 0.5%. Japan's Nikkei gained 0.4 by the close, but Hong Kong shares were down 2.5%. The Dow added 51 points yesterday to 13,020. The Nasdaq closed 19 points higher, and the S&P 500 gained 10. Today, the group ClimateCounts.org issues its second company scorecard. It ranks the environmental friendliness of 56 major companies. As John Dimsdale reports, 84% of them did better than last year.
The average climate ranking rose 10% for companies in 9 industries, from electronics to clothing to food. Most improved from last year were Google, Anheuser-Busch, and Levi Strauss. Project Director Wood Turner hopes the survey rewards climate-savvy companies.
We want the issue of climate change to be something that they're competing with each other on to demonstrate leadership to consumers.
Fast food companies continue their bottom rankings. Turner isn't sure why they pay little attention to climate change.
There's been a lot of scrutiny of the industry in terms of welfare issues, childhood obesity issues, and others. It may just not be on their radar screen. They may not be hearing from consumers the way other sectors are.
But Burger King, which gets a zero in the Climate Count survey, says it didn't get credit for new energy-efficient broilers and building designs that are just beginning to show climate change results. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Here's the tale of two car makers. Chrysler's giving away free gasoline. Toyota's raising its prices. Starting today, people who buy or lease a new Chrysler can get 3 years' worth of gas locked in at $2.99 a gallon. GM, Ford, and Toyota say they have no plans to do this, but Toyota is hiking its prices in the U.S. The 2009 Camry will cost $200 more, about $19,000. The hybrid Camry will go for about $25,000. Walmart closed its original Hyperstore in Garland, Texas yesterday. That was the first one that combined food and retail. But it won't be closed for long. It's reopening today as the company's first Hispanic community store. Stacey Vanek Smith has more.
The Garland Walmart will offer fresh tortillas. Spanish language music, movies, and games will be the rule. And the in-store bank will specialize in money transfers. It might seem strange to rebrand a store when the economy has hit the skids, but it's smart timing, says Phil Lempert, editor of SupermarketGuru.com.
When a bad economy hits, what you've got is people looking for value. And value isn't just price. It's a combination of price and service and quality and relationship. And if you can put together that right formula for a big enough group of people, you're going to be successful in a recessionary time.
Lempert says supermarkets are madly trying to distinguish themselves. He says Whole Foods has done a great job appealing to the wealthy, health-conscious crowd, and supermarket chain Vons is working to match individual stores to local clientele. And now, he says, Walmart is catching up, catering to the booming Latino market. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at Medtronic.com. By Advanta. Advanta salutes small business, the brave ones, the risk takers, all those who chase a dream and make their own way. And by America's Family Physicians, offering patient-centered care so employees can better manage their health and employers better manage their costs. AAFP.org/value.
Today we launch a new series called Food Fight.
In Haiti, riots over food prices.
Limiting purchases of rice.
Hey, winter wheat's up 25 cents. Corn.
We start with the most obvious question. How did we get to this point? We're joined by Duncan Green. He's the head of research at Oxfam in Great Britain. Duncan, why are so many countries fighting over food?
Well, food prices started rising in 2001, 2002. And then about a year ago, they started taking off. And I think the reason is there's been a convergence of different forces. So China and India eating more meat has led to a big increase in demand. The big shift to biofuels has taken grain out of the food system and put it into people's gas tanks. And the high price of oil has fed into oil manufactured products like pesticides. So there's been a whole bunch of things pushing up the prices of food.
If you had to point to one specific thing as a major cause here, what would it be?
Oxfam's really pointing to biofuels because certain factors behind the food prices are good things. That is, people in poor countries like India and China eating more. That's a good thing. We don't want to stop that. Mm-hmm. But the switch to biofuels is really questionable on environmental grounds, that many of the biofuels that are being produced don't actually save carbon by the time you factor in all the fertilizers, pesticides, changes in land use. So you don't save anything on carbon emissions and global warming, and you put a squeeze on food prices.
We've been hearing the word crisis used a lot in this situation. Would you use the word crisis?
Definitely. If you think a lot of poor families spend 50%, even three quarters of their income on food, if the price of food doubles, suddenly they're in really difficult situations. They either have to eat less food or they have to switch to less nutritious, cheaper food.
In terms of this situation getting better this year or getting worse, possibly, what does that hinge on?
Well, it hinges on the harvests coming in and the some suggestion that the harvest will be bigger. I mean, farmers do respond to high prices. They're businessmen and women, after all. So there will be an increase in production, but not enough. So I think our analysis is that we're entering a prolonged period of high prices. So governments have to do various things. In developing countries, governments have to invest far more in agriculture. They've actually been investing less in agriculture. And the kind of agriculture they invest in has got to be the kind that actually benefits poor people the most. So we particularly urging them to invest in small-scale agriculture, small family farmers in poor countries.
Duncan Green, the head of research at Oxfam in Great Britain, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Food Fight, higher demand is good for farmers. Well, some of them. Catch all of our coverage online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.